What's up, guys? This is the Black Queer Culture Show with James Patrick. Check out today's episode. What's going on, guys? It's James Patrick here with another episode of the Black Queer Culture Show, where we're going to talk about everything, okay? We're going to leave it all right on the table. I'm so excited because one of the things that I love to do, one of my favorite things in the world, and I mean, when I say favorite, I mean, this is one of my favorite. One of my favorite things in the world to do is to groom myself. I love it. I love cutting my nails. I love exfoliating my skin. I love it. And I love finding new products. It's just such a hobby. I wish I had just petty cash every week to go to Marshall's and just buy all types of shit. So I thought that it would make the best sense for me to introduce you guys to a new friend of mine. She's an esthetician. She's an educational specialist. She does a lot of community involvement. She has her own spa in Columbia, South Carolina. And I mean, she's doing it and representing for everybody with melanin. Yes, ma'am. We have Etasha here, who's going to be our skincare specialist. She's my skincare specialist for the next 30 minutes. She's your skincare specialist. Y'all make some noise for Etasha. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Introduce the world to Etasha.
Okay. Hey, guys. So my name's Etasha McFarland, known to you guys as Spaces by Etash. I'm a licensed esthetician and SC educator. I help my clients achieve beautiful skin without the use of excess filters. And then I also help other estheticians boss up in and out of their treatment room and implement passive streams of income. So you have your hair girl, you have your nail girl. Let me be your go-to skin girl.
I'm just going to jump into it. I want to ask you, how important is it for guys to shave their balls?
It's going to vary.
Yeah.
From person to person. But it's very important because that's dealing with hygiene, sweat, odor, exfoliation. So you want to keep those areas, especially your intimate area, your private areas down below and up top underneath your arms. You want to make sure you keep those shaved, exfoliate them, and apply the proper deodorant of choice. So it's very important.
So I want to reach out to all the women out there who still have a bush that looks like the shaggy rugs from the 1970s. All the women, all the holistic women out there who still like their underarms furry, as well as their kitty cats. What advice are you going to give them at this moment in time?
So now I first want to say that everybody has a preference in reference to if they want to keep up with shaving or wax, right? Mm-hmm. But if you do prefer to be hairless, I definitely recommend trying waxing because over time we want to slow down and kill and soften up that hair follicle, right?
Yeah.
So keeping your skin hairless, just think about how smooth your skin is, how products are able to actually penetrate the skin as opposed to trying to fight through all the hair, exfoliation. So in a nutshell, go ahead and shave and or wax, but I prefer that you wax. So make sure you do that.
Now, I've been using, and I mean, don't judge me, okay? I've been using Nair. I've always used Nair. I've never had an issue with Nair. Nair's never had an issue with me. I know, just like any other perm, you can't leave it on too long. And when my hair starts to resemble that of Michael Jackson's last wig before his untimely death, I know that I need to take it off. Take that thing off before you start to, because that make you whistle. So how should I change it? Should I stop using Nair?
Of course. So there's always a better way, a better option, right? Now you're just treating your skin to mediocre treatments as it relates to removing the hair.
Okay.
So why not treat your skin to luxury and do waxing? It also serves as exfoliation. It's going to soften the skin. It's going to help with the clarity of your skin, brightening up the skin as well. So I recommend that, especially me with my esthetician hat on. You have to wax. You just have to.
So, I mean, I want to be honest here, Etasha, and let you know that I have a deep fear of somebody just yanking my testy with a piece of paper that is attached like a fly trap. That's all I think about. I just think about just fly traps and just applying it to my skin and just yanking my balls off. And I just like, what is a taint? What is a perineum after that? You know what I mean? Will I Will I be able to see it?
Yes. So first of all, usually in the private area, people primarily use hard wax. So hard wax would be a better form to use. Okay. But as you're starting to get wax, you're going to keep up with your cycle. So you're going to keep it up routinely, go like every 4 to 6 weeks, depending on your hair growth.
Yeah.
So once you start, then that hair isn't going to be as long.
Yeah.
But if you're going to somebody that's licensed and professional and educated, then they know how to properly place their hand to make sure that they're not causing any ripping or any extra damage to the skin.
Yeah.
And then also when you go for waxing, they will tell you, hey, place your hand here so we can create the tension in terms of when I do remove the strip. So it all comes to play with making sure that the client's comfortable as well as the service goes smoothest as well. You can come back.
Okay. I have a better understanding because all before it was just, and the horror music where it's just
that was in your head.
In my head, Atasha, let me paint a picture for you. In my head, I am face down, ass up, okay? And I'm just at the mercy of this woman who probably don't even like seeing in the first place. And she's just yanking my asshole from my body.
She let me just get my hair.
And it's just, and she has a small accent, and yeah.
Not the accent. But no, why don't you try just getting a bikini first?
Who does male waxes in the state of South Carolina? Who is waxing? Who's male? Waxing me? Yes.
So one of my counterparts, she waxes men. Her name's Alicia of AMB Aesthetics. And I believe Sugar-Coated Wax on Farrell Road in Columbia, they offer waxing for males as well.
Oh, okay. Now we're talking about something. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So try it out. Try just like a bikini. Or you can do like a landing strip where everything is removed, but you have the landing strip.
Yes.
So just try it.
Like the white girls in Playboy back in the 90s, and they would just have the landing strip. Yes.
And then you gradually bump up to getting a full manzillion.
Oh, man.
Ooh. You can do it. You can do it.
You just pep me up.
Because you keep putting that chemical on your skin.
Yeah.
You might as well just do the wax.
Lord, it's going to be hard letting go of the creamy crack.
I'm gonna let it go
because I really want to be more holistic in that, especially down there.
Oh, and that goes hand in hand with you, health guru.
Yes,
making healthier choices for your body.
Yes, getting my balls waxed instead of putting Nair on them is the goal for 2023. Thank you for the vision, and I'm gonna set forth and do it.
Yeah, and this, and think of whatever your favorite song is as opposed to that. You can do it.
I'm gonna be sweating a lot. I'm gonna be sweating.
You're gonna be nervous, but after that first pull, I think you'll be straight.
Ooh, Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
I wanna switch gears, and I wanna actually play a game with you.
Okay.
I don't know if you're into games. I like to. I tell people don't play with me. Play with your mama. But in the case of today's discussion, I wanted to play a game that I created called That's Old Nasty Ass.
That's Old Nasty Ass. Okay.
And when you know, and when you say it, Itasha, you have to say it like you just got to run it together. It's a That's Old Nasty Ass. That's it, right. There you go.
I got you.
All right. Now, in this game, I'm going to call out the actionable hygiene move, and you have to tell me if doing it or not doing it would make you an old nasty ass. And so if it's nasty, you're going to say,
that's old nasty ass.
Hot damn. And all right. And if it's not, we'll just be like, it's not. That's good hygiene.
That's good hygiene. Okay.
All right. So let's start with guys who don't clean their nails.
That's old nasty ass.
Yeah. Talk about guys who have really crusty toenails.
That's old nasty ass.
Okay.
My eye too.
We got two for two. Woo. Shaving before going to work.
That's good hygiene.
Flossing one's teeth before bedtime.
That's good hygiene.
I'm going to take it a step further. Brushing your teeth after giving fellatio.
That's excellent hygiene.
That's good. Okay. All right. when white people don't wash below their...
That's old nasty ass.
Okay.
You ain't even got to finish.
Because I was going to finish, but she didn't.
You ain't even got to finish.
Because you knew? You're saying you knew?
I already knew what time it was.
Right. Hi, Natasha. It looks like you've actually won the game. Yes. And you're now a certified esthetician in my book. And in the
That's
book,
what I'm talking about.
Yes, because you know definitively what is an old nasty ass versus what is good hygiene.
I love it.
I want to move on to the culture of black skin, because we know that black skin is of high value. We know that our skin tone, there's a richness in it and there's value in it, literally. I mean, from hundreds of years of being sold to even modern oppression, I mean, we are still of high coinage. And so I want to talk about how you think skincare has even taken on its own evolution as a result of, because like we see people like Rihanna, who's killing it with Fenty, and how so many black girls across the world, just black and brown girls, just really, they clung to it because it was a girl like them that they already trusted.
I relate.
So how do you feel like black skincare has evolutionized?
So I would say with black skincare, like you mentioned before, like black is in, right?
Yeah.
They said black don't crack. Even Caucasians, sometimes when they see you, they're like, oh, you have beautiful skin. In order for them to have that more pigmented skin, they have to do the tanning, sunbathing, where we naturally have the melanin. So that's what makes us even more beautiful. And it also helps us as it relates to how we age. So skincare, in a sense, especially now in this day and age, is viewed as self-care. So you see people are indulging in elaborate self-care routines as couples, as husband and wives, as besties. People are getting together, putting their mask on and having drinks. Even some of my male clients, they're using their ladies' skincare. I was like, hey, I'm using whatever my woman's using because I know if she's using it, it's clutch.
Yeah.
So skincare overall is important because we all want to look and feel confident in the skin that we're in. It's the first thing that people see because it's what keeps you attractive.
Yeah.
So if nobody's talking to you or buying into what you're buying, it's all about the first your look, which is going to be that first impression. And then look, your skin is going to represent you for a lifetime. So you want to definitely make sure that you take care of it as much as possible.
Absolutely. And I love that you said that there are guys that are truly using their girlfriends and wives' skincare, because we know that up until, and maybe I just wasn't cognitive of the time frame, but I just don't feel like up until very long ago, men were really talking about skin, like skincare. I think in gay culture, we were talking about it, of course. Like, I learned about serums through my forefather gays, you know what I mean? The elders were teaching me, no, my child, you must apply the hyaluronic acid.
Because those are what's doing the work. That's like the, that's the main, that's treatment steps. Your hyaluronic acid, niacinamide, vitamin C, vitamin A, your eye cream. And guys and ladies, we all should be wearing sunscreen regardless if we're working outside or being outside directly in the sun. PF is necessary. You have UVA, UVB rays.
Yes.
Even like when you're driving, the sun's hitting the side of your face. Even us being on the cell phones, the blue light. So everybody should be wearing sunscreen. And if you do work outside, reapply it throughout the day.
Talk about the blue light.
So the blue light is like emitting from our cell phones. If you think about it, we're on our compared, I want to say maybe like in the last 10 years, but even more so, I don't know, 8 to 5 years. We are constantly on our phones. People crossing the street with their phone
in their hand,
looking down.
Looking down.
Like, we're always on our phone.
Yeah.
So I was reading a study, too, that they said, hey, don't put your cell phone in your pocket because that emits, like, radiation. So that can cause different problems within the body. The heat, UVB is real. And even recently on social media, they were talking about us ladies who get our nails done and the UV lamps that we put our hands under. So all of those different things. So you may not think of it like, you're like, hey, I'm using my phone or what else I'm supposed to do or whatever the case may be. But all of these things over time contribute to these ailments and illnesses, especially cancer. So cancer is a big one, heart disease, diabetes, all of these things, the foods that we're consuming, the excess sugar, and sugar, that ages you quickly.
Yeah.
So you want to pull back on the sugar. So all of this stuff, this comes full circle. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know I'm no esthetician by any long shot, but I know for a fact that what we put in our bodies is definitely going to result on how our skin, how it looks, I mean, how it feels.
Yes.
And I'm sure you can attest to that. Do you have clients who you have to give more like nutritional advice to?
Yes. And a lot of women too that I see, a big problem that women are having is experiencing adult acne, as well as excessive chin hairs, facial hair, like bearded hair. So as women start to get older, we start to produce more male androgen cells, which contribute to excess facial hair, just the foods that we put in our body, hormone, PCOS. So it's a lot of different factors, especially coming from foods that we consume. We're busy. We're trying to hustle and bustle. We're trying to, I think I saw your post where you said, hey, I'm waiting to hit billionaire status. I got to get it. I got to go. Hustle and bustle of life, that we don't have time to really cook meals. We picking up something on the go.
Yeah.
And if you're doing that every day, at least 3 to 4 times out the week, then you're depriving your body of nutritional value.
Yeah.
Where you can monitor what you're putting into your food.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you're doing for your skin. If you're not doing it for your body, it goes hand in hand. And skin is our biggest organ, correct?
Yep.
It's our biggest organ. Yeah.
It is.
I grew up with a mama who taught me how to like file my nails and cut my nails and cut my toes and exfoliate. Like back then she had the little pads she would get from Eckerd's. If you know about Eckerd's.
Ah, that's a throwback.
Okay. I'm 35. I know about Eckerd's. And
that's a throwback.
Okay. But she taught me like how to do all of that and how to take the vitamins. And granted, she ain't gonna take them now, but I think it really starts from like your upbringing.
Yeah.
How you were grown makes a big difference.
And if you look to your parents, you can see how they age. And then I know for my family, like under eye area is like one of my main concerns, pigmentation. But as we all start to mature in age, that's the area that breaks down the fastest. Mm-hmm. The tissues there is thinner. You have pigmentation, fine lines and wrinkles, sunkeninness. Everybody should start using the eye cream or eye serum or some kind of eye product. I'll say like at least mid-20s. So if you don't have one, then incorporate that.
I'm going to be honest with you. I give myself another year and a half and I'm going for Botox. I'm not going to hold
you. We offer that. I have a provider that comes in. We did a Botox and collagen event at the spa. And I actually got me some the last time.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, because the benefit of success is the stress that it brings onto your skin. You know what I mean? The better you're doing, the more you got to do self-care.
Yeah.
And I mean, and some of my Black friends always laugh at me when I say that, but I'm like, no, I'm going to
self-care day.
Be right. Okay. Yeah. Maybe I won't be able to laugh in totality with you for the first 48 hours. I don't care about that. It'll wear off.
Exactly. Thinking about the long-term results, not the just right then and there.
That's y'all problem. Y'all thinking right now. You thinking too right now.
We need the long-term.
We need the long-term, okay?
Long, long, long-term.
Long. Pull me back as long-term as you need to.
Exactly.
Get me right. How do you feel about Black girls and bleaching?
Ooh, so let's talk about it.
Because what I want to say is, I want you to just tell me what you really feel about, because this is such a weird topic to talk about.
It kind of goes, okay, the whole skin bleaching, the reason why people are tapping into skin bleaching is because ideally in my head, most of my clients are like, hey, I have dark marks or I have discoloration or two-tone skin. So I want it to be bright and even and clear, right? But we all are seeing all of these images of celebrities and people, our favorites on social media in the world, but their skin isn't poreless like you see on the pictures in the video. Those are filters, right? So everybody has some kind of flaws as it relates to their skin. Nobody has perfect skin. You're going to be working towards something. So the whole skin bleaching starts to tie into a lot of people are tapping into, hey, I want a chemical peel. I want to see all the sheets of skin coming off. And those are more like medical grade peels. But there was a couple of stories that came out of some of y'all favorites that y'all follow on social media who are demanding chemical peels from estheticians or whatever the case may be. And they're in the hospital with a chemical burn. You can brighten up your skin. But what I always like to tell my clients is when they come in and say, hey, I want to have even skin or I have a lot of dark marks or pigmentation. How long has that pigmentation been there? It didn't just happen overnight. Mm-hmm. So you can't expect to go to an esthetician and get one service or two services and expect your skin to be back clear. So the damage has happened to your skin over time.
Yeah.
So it's not like you woke up with a pimple and it was just black compared to the rest of your skin.
Yeah.
So you have been picking at your skin, scratching at your skin, improper use of skincare products, using too many acids, following too many TikTok trends. So with that being said, you have to be realistic in the goals that you want for your skin. Also be patient. So if you have some pigmentation, then you need to go see an esthetician. Or if you are someone that's, hey, I know exactly what my skin needs, then just make sure you're using the right products for your skin type. Okay. Not somebody else that you see on TikTok. Oftentimes people are like, hey, I seen this thing on TikTok. And I'd be like, get somebody else to do it. It's ridiculous.
Do you feel like social media has really started to run the game on skincare? Like, yeah.
It has, because again, it goes back to the influencers of social media, mm-hmm. the beauty influencers. Like they don't have a degree or a license in being an esthetician, or for you have your massage therapist, right?
Yeah.
License. So they aren't licensed, but because they have so much influence, mm-hmm. they hang on to their every word. Mm-hmm. So if you have these big influencers out in the world saying, hey, I use all of this for my skincare, I do this and this, and then you come in and see an esthetician, as a client, you're already trying to tell the esthetician what it is that you want them to do to your skin. But you don't go to the doctor's office and do that. You don't go to the doctor's office and say, hey, I've been following Dr. Phil or Sanjay Gupta, and he said to do X, Y, and Z. So that's what I want you to prescribe me, X, Y, and Z. No. So you got to follow proper protocol.
Yeah.
Or get somebody else to do it.
And understand your specific skin. It's just like understanding your hair type. Like my hair is not your hair, is not her hair, is not his hair. It's right. All individualized.
Exactly.
So I want you to give us three tips to improve our tone, improve our skin without compromising it.
Okay, so I'll probably break this down into like more like categories. I did write down some things.
Yeah.
And we kind of touched on these. So if you just think about these three categories. So the first one that we talked about earlier on is diet, right? So what you put in your body internally will play a part on what's shown externally, right? Mm-hmm. So your diet, as well as extrinsic factors, being outside in the sun, mm-hmm. Smoking, the things that you put on topically on your skin. Some other things when you're thinking about your tone and the health of your skin is medications. A lot of people miss this. They say, hey, my skin just happened to get dark. It never was like this. Then we go through the consultation. Okay, well, what are you currently using? And they're really not using anything. But when I start to tap into the medication list, mm-hmm. then that's when it's, hey, I was on a steroid because I had surgery. I was on an antibiotic, blood pressure medicine, mm-hmm. and a big one for skin darkening. You got to look at your medications that you're taking or what you're putting in internally, because like high blood pressure pills and certain medications will darken up your skin. And also check the back of your neck too. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people's back of the neck is really dark and you're like, what's going on?
That's insulin, right?
So insulin. So again, internally, those medications. So a lot of people don't really think about those things when they're like, hey, I want my skin to be brighter, but we can be doing all these treatments, but whatever's going on internally, again, because we said our skin is our largest organ, it's going to show. Okay. So your diet, internal medications. And then the last one that I did was basically your skincare. So coming back to your topicals. So you want to make sure with skincare, I know a lot of people ask, hey, which serum should I use? Of course, a cleanser. So your basic three steps should be using a cleanser day and night, using a moisturizer day and night, and using your sunscreen every day during the day.
Okay.
Now, as you start to get into a more elaborate routine, you want to incorporate some kind of treatment steps. So the treatment steps will be like your serums. So if you have acne, you might be incorporating things that have like salicylic acid, benzoyl peroxide. If you're looking to brighten your skin, you might be looking at some vitamin C, some kojic acid, some arbutin, even like lactic acid, glycolic acid. And then for your eyes and even vitamin A, so retinols or derivatives of vitamin A. So those are like your treatment steps that's going to be doing the work on the skin until you get to your esthetician and do those more clinical treatments. We talked about diet, medications, and then topicals as it relates to your skincare. So those would be like the three categories to be mindful about to help with the health of your skin.
I love it. I love it. And here's a, and I feel like as long as we are continuously evolving, our skin is going to change over time, correct?
Environment, stressors,
yeah,
anxiety,
fucking like kids. If you have kids, kids are changing. Being a business owner,
yeah,
my skin got so dry when I opened up my gym. Like, I remember saying, we went to the mountains that same year, and I was sitting outside on like the end of the porch, and I was just like, my skin has been dry like for months. I mean,
it was thirsty, it was parched
because I was stressed as a motherfucker. I was opening up this business.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. So yeah, I love that we touched on skin bleaching. I mean, in Jamaica, it is such a huge thing. I was there last month and was paying close attention to a lot of the faded skin tone. And I'm like, I know this person had to have been darker or browner than what I'm looking at.
Yeah, because if you're doing that, are you going to do your whole body? That's a whole process.
It's a whole process. Why your face light skin and your neck dark skin?
I mean, come on. What you going to do in the summertime when you can't cover up? I mean,
are you just going to wear turtlenecks all year long?
This don't make no sense.
It don't make no sense. I really wanted to ask the question on behalf of Sammy Sosa, Lil' Kim, and Michael Jackson, because we've seen in the past decade, they have all changed nationalities before our eyes.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. I mean, and Lil' Kim, before Michael, I mean, Lil' Kim, she's now Asian Puerto Rican. She's Pan-Asian.
And them lips, Lord.
And here's the thing. I'm all for a little, if you got to get a little nip, tuck, snip, pop here.
Boom, boom, cat.
If you got to get a little 1, 2, 3, boom, boom, cat, go ahead and do you, because you probably earned it. But just don't become Pan-Asian.
No. Yeah, don't do no 360 where you're like, dang, this ain't even, I mean, come on now.
Don't become Pan-Asian on me. Don't become Puerto Rican on me.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. It's Tasha McFarland. We appreciate you so much. Thank you for your time. Oh my gosh. I hope you'll come back and I hope I can have you again.
Yeah, and then come see me for a facial.
Most definitely.
Yes. Come see me for your self-care at Faces by Tosh.
Let's do it. How can people reach?
So you can follow me on Facebook and Instagram at Faces by Tosh. The website is facesbytosh.com. And you can also call us to reserve your spa days at 803-800-6517.
Us queen. We appreciate you. We adore you and we admonish you and we wish you blessings in 2023. More money, more paper. More clients. See. Okay.
That's good.
And we'll be talking to you soon. Thank you, my love.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Black Queer Culture Show with James Patrick.